All right, we're going to close out this week's show with a love story, because that's just the kind of guy I am. Here's Only a Game's Martin Kessler.
On January 8th, 2001, news broke that the Oakland A's were trading for outfielder Johnny Damon.
Which obviously is a big news. I mean, they're bringing in a big-name guy. It was a high-profile trade.
This is Dan Brown, a longtime sports writer for the San Jose Mercury News.
So I had to dive in and kind of give it my best shot.
Dan's goal was to get a quote from Damon. But Dan knew that other reporters would be on the story, especially Susan Slusser, the A's beat writer from the rival San Francisco Chronicle. Dan went into his study and started making phone calls.
It did not go well. I couldn't get anybody. So my story very high up said, Damon, who could not be reached for comment,
The next morning, Dan picked up the San Francisco Chronicle and read Susan Slusser's story.
Had these flowing quotes from Johnny Damon that she'd somehow reached while he was on, I think he was on vacation in Hawaii, talking about how excited he was. You do your best, and sometimes it happens, but because other writers especially know we're married, people spend a lot of time pointing it out for the next week or so, like, oh, couldn't be reached for comment, huh? Ha ha ha.
Yes, Dan and Susan are married. While Dan was in the study getting nowhere, Susan was in the dining room talking with her sources about the breaking trade.
I'd actually heard about it quite some time before it was ever announced, so I was already working on it.
So what was it like at breakfast the next morning when you guys, you know, could see these two stories side by side?
Breakfast was salty.
Years later, Dan would get his payback. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The story of the marriage between two of the Bay Area's top sports writers and the various challenges that come with the union begins in 1990. Back then, Dan was an undergrad at UC Davis, covering the football team for the student newspaper. Toward the end of the season opener, as Dan was waiting beside the field for post-game interviews, he noticed the Sacramento Bee's new beat writer.
So he made some kind of lame comment about the game, expecting to get a lame comment back, because that's how chit-chat goes. And I guess mine was so uninteresting that she turned around and like literally walked away without saying a word.
I'm guessing I was maybe either focused on the game or just kind of couldn't be bothered. So that was our first meeting, such as it was.
And at the next few games, things didn't go much better for Dan. Susan spent most of her time chatting with another young reporter named Howard Beck.
He's sort of a nonstop talker. So I didn't talk to Dan for the next several games or practices or wherever we were. But Howie finally had to miss some game, and I had no option except for to talk to Dan at that time. And I thought, oh, okay. I guess he's not that bad, this kid from the student paper.
Soon, Dan and Susan started dating. And a few years later, Dan concocted an elaborate plan to get Susan to return with him to that spot by the edge of the field where they'd almost had their first conversation.
And I got down on one knee and I said, you know, will you marry me? And she didn't walk away, although that thought crossed my mind.
This time, Susan responded. She said yes. At first, the newlyweds didn't think they'd have to go head-to-head for stories. Susan was covering the A's for the San Francisco Chronicle, and Dan soon started covering the Giants for the Mercury News. Nevertheless, the setup presented problems.
Because the teams alternate which team is home and which team is on the road. So if Susan was home, I was on the road, and vice versa. And I think, you know, one year we counted during a baseball season that between April and October, we were in the same place maybe 23 days out of that entire span. So it was a little bit rough.
There were times where I would drop off the car in short-term parking and he would fly in an hour later and pick up the car in short-term parking. I mean, we really were like ships crossing. We did have a very romantic lunch in Columbus, Ohio one day when the A's were in Cleveland and the Giants were in Cincinnati. We both drove several hours and met in the middle.
But as the years went on and as newspaper staff started to shrink, Dan got assigned more A's stories. And that meant encroaching on Susan's turf in the Oakland press box.
It's not really necessarily a comfortable situation.
But luckily, Dan and Susan specialized in different skills. Susan is an ace reporter. Dan says that sometimes A's players call her to learn whether or not they're really on the trading block. As for Dan,
Dan's actually a much better writer than I am. It actually makes me angry sometimes. He knows he's written a really good story when I've read his story and then I sort of start glaring at him.
She'll read a story sometimes that I've worked hard on and she'll say like, I hate you. And I'll say, that means so much to me. because that lets me know that that I did okay.
But when Dan goes head-to-head with Susan on a breaking A story, like the Johnny Damon trade, it usually ends badly for him. Now, for the record, Susan is quick and kind to point out that while it is her full-time job to cover the A's, that is not her husband's focus. Nevertheless, she doesn't cut Dan any breaks. Take, for instance, the time Dan was trying to reach one of her regular sources, A's general manager Billy Bean.
I think Dan had left a couple messages at his office with his secretary or something, and Billy said, why don't you just give Dan my new cell phone number? And I said, no. I mean, I couldn't. He's my competition, so it's not going to happen. I don't know how Dan eventually got it. I think he did, but I'm not. That's like asking me to go tell the competing beat writer inside information.
Dan, are you ever tempted in the middle of the night to, you know, like pull out Susan's phone and just jot down some news sources for yourself?
No, but that's a good idea. It'd solve a lot of my problems.
You'd have to use my thumbprint, so don't try it.
I can, if you're right there, I can use your actual thumb while you're sleeping.
Such sleuthing would have been especially handy for Dan ahead of the most recent baseball winter meetings. The winter meetings are an annual gathering of baseball executives and agents. It's a time when lots of news breaks. And this past year, Dan's editors asked him to go.
I'm totally lost, and Susan is totally, you know, like royalty there.
He really hates it. I love it. It's like a big cocktail party for me.
It was the first year that Dan and Susan were covering the winter meetings at the same time. They set up workstations right next to each other and started trying to outscoop each other.
And I would hear her on the cell phone or watch her disappear into a hallway to talk into her cell phone and start sweating over what was about to come next while I'm like Googling to find out what rumor she might be onto.
Susan wouldn't let Dan fall too far behind.
She'd tap me on the shoulder and say, I just posted a story about Piscotty's trade. You might want to check it out. It was her polite way of saying, I've just beaten you badly on the story. So I would have to, you know, first Google the spelling of Piscotty.
The A's were targeting a young outfielder named Stephen Piscotty, who was from the Bay Area.
So it was a good story that I read about in the San Francisco Chronicle website.
But that wasn't the only breaking news at the winter meetings. Former Oakland A Jose Canseco went on a troubling Twitter rant about sexual molestation.
And I was just trying to figure out what the heck was happening. And as I was doing that, I heard Susan on the phone next to me talking to Jose, getting clarification on his comment. So that was another real rewarding journalism moment for me.
Dan kept getting beat, so he did the sensible thing. He decided to get out of town early. Susan stayed behind to cover one last event. Dan took the 6 a.m. flight home.
And I'm easing my way through the first class cabin to get back to row 23C or whatever it was, and there's Billy Bean right there on my flight.
The A's general manager was also heading home early. It hit Dan. If any news broke while they were in the air, he'd have first access to Bean when the plane landed. And sure enough, it was during the flight that the A's finalized that trade for Stephen Piscotty. So when they landed at SFO, Dan approached Bean to get his first comments on the trade.
The first thing he said was like, Susan's going to kill me. I'd say, like, well, you and me both, pal. But for once, I didn't care.
Dan was so worried that Susan would still somehow find a way to get a hold of Bean and post a story before he did that he wrote his story from baggage claim.
And when Dan posted his story with the Bean comments, I think I responded on Twitter something like the divorce proceedings are imminent. And I never actually did get Billy that day. I think he decided to just let Dan have his one scoop.
So Dan finally got his scoop. A little balance in a relationship is probably healthy, right? Still, given all the problems that seem to crop up when husband and wife are working for rival sports sections, I was left wondering whether they wish they could work in different fields, where they wouldn't have to compete against each other.
No, I can't even imagine such a scenario.
No, because I get to see traits of her that are kind of like the best in her. Her intelligence and her work ethic and all those kind of things that really kind of elevate her in my eyes. So, no, I like being able to appreciate it on a day-to-day basis.
How's that for you, lovebirds? That story was by Only a Game's Martin Kessler. I recommend Dan's Mercury News column, Help! I Married My Dreaded Baseball Rival, A Love Story. We'll have a link at onlyagame.org.